the question that came before. So we're very fortunate in our society that we have such a pristine example of one with integrity, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My husband and I are now in the process of making a film biography, a 90-minute film biography about the life and legacy of Srila Prabhupada. And there's no aspect of Prabhupada's life that any one of his followers have to feel uncomfortable with or embarrassed by. Rather, from his childhood, when he was growing up in Calcutta, he acted in exemplary way, meeting his spiritual master and being so affected by the words from his spiritual master, feeling that, oh, I should have followed immediately, but now I have family, I have children. So he stayed with his family, with his children for 40 years. And then when his family was ready, they could be without him. Then with great, great endeavor, he wrote the first three volumes of the Bhagavatam, finished the first canto, and with even more endeavor, got passage across the ocean, where he suffered on board the Jaladuta, physically suffered, and so many trials and tribulations to establish the movement in America. The first 10 months, he would go back to the steamship company. When is the next boat going back? But he said, no, let me wait for some more time. Let me try some more. Even though there was no result, even though it was the worst winter in 40 years of American history, even though everything, he got his place where he was staying got broken into, he was robbed of everything valuable that he had. Even though he was attacked by a drug-addicted hippie and he had to run out of the next place he was staying and he had left everything behind and was on the street with nothing. So all these trials and tribulations, and yet the motivation was simply, let me try to fulfill the instructions of my spiritual master. Guru Mukhya Padma Vakya Chitte Te Kuriya Aikya. Let my consciousness be one with those words emanating from my spiritual master's mouth. And that, because that pleased Krishna, such incredible success was there for him. So what a role model we have. I hope there's more points for discussion. We have a little time left, I think. Yes.
A microphone.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I have little difficulties in understanding one of the points that you mentioned under the heading Symptoms of Integrity, in that you mentioned that the roles are self-chosen and they are flexible. So I'm not understanding how is it a symptom of integrity, because if we all think that way, then where is the point of surrender? Like as a devotee in any one of the ISKCON temples, when we are told to do something or engage in some particular service, we have to surrender to the authorities. So how do I understand that the roles are self-chosen and they are flexible?
Well, if we choose to surrender, that's our self is choosing in that way, right? We can say, if we choose to surrender, someone asked us to do something that we have no propensity for, we can say yes or we can say no, right? We have a choice. So if we choose to say yes, that's our glory. The spiritual master usually tries to engage the disciple in such a way that, according to the disciple's propensities, but sometimes there'll be emergency situations. You know, there was a time Prabhupada wanted to print 17 volumes of books in 2 months. So there was a tremendous push amongst the devotees, and people did things that they had never done before. But the choice was always there to say no. But they did it out of love, this tremendous force of love. So in that sense, out of love we can surrender and do things we would ordinarily not do for emergency situations. But long term, it's very hard to maintain that. Long term, it's much more natural to be engaged according to our propensity. Then we can keep it up through thick and thin, through obstacles. And if we try to do that with something that's really not suited for us, it could be problematic later on. So in that way, roles are chosen. We choose it in the sense that, yes, at this point I want to surrender and do the needful, but after some months or some years, then we might want to reassess and do something that's actually according to our psychophysical nature. Does that help? Is that helpful?
So it means we have freedom to change our roles, and then if we do so, we are still considered to be behaving with integrity, right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you properly.
So I'm saying that it means that since the roles are chosen, eventually, that's what you said, after some time, if we choose to change our role, and if we do so, we are still living with integrity.
Yes, but it can't be whimsical. That's the point, it can't be whimsical. It's done, you know, when you're in a community, then it has to be done with the agreement of the community, what is best for the individual and what is also best for the community. Sometimes, again, what may be best for the community may not always be the best thing for the individual, but in the long term, these things will get worked out. Once the community has this feeling that it exists for the good of the individual, then we want all the individuals to be engaged and to be happy. Again, once there's this sense of commitment and love for the goals of the community, then for these temporary times we can overcome perhaps personal obstacles. Oh, I don't want to do that, I don't like to do that. But no, it's necessary, so I will do it. You know, I will surrender in that way and do it. And then someone else comes and they really love to do that thing, and then I can do other things that are suited for me in that sense. We have other topics here we can go on with then. This topic of love, I just read a few sentences that I found very inspiring here. Love decenters the self. Our true riches are in another. This kind of love electrifies. It puts us in a state of need and makes it delightful to serve the person we love. And that love spills outward and upward. With this love comes the need to worship, to adore, and the need to make unshakable commitments. This gift of love can overcome our natural self-centeredness. I think for almost all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, when Srila Prabhupada was present on this planet, it was practically a mystical energy that disciples all over the world would be out distributing books or making life members or establishing temples, really feeling Prabhupada's presence in their lives, feeling the focus that he had and wanting to please him by their own activities. So even though he would be in one little city in the world, throughout the world, hundreds, thousands of disciples would be feeling his presence and wanting to do something with their lives that was pleasing to him. This kind of energy is transcendental love. And it can be there today in Prabhupada's presence because of his extraordinary spiritual strength, perhaps. It was felt more strongly But it also is available to us today. It's a question of our focus, of our desire, of our steadiness and enthusiasm. Any other points anyone would like to bring up? This point of integrity? This is one more. We have a few minutes left, I think.
Hi, Krishna. Thank you so much. I'm hoping you could speak a little more on conflict resolution with integrity, because it seems like often amongst devotees there can be a conflict, and then how to resolve it so that everyone feels satisfied and still is not artificially not being honest in terms of their own needs as well.
So. Very often with these conflicts amongst devotees, it takes a third person. It's rare when two conflicted devotees can resolve the issue themselves. But if a third person comes, especially a trained person, preferably, an ombudsperson or a mediator, and by hearing from both sides, and both sides hearing from each other, and really trying to put yourself in the other person's position, that's what actual hearing is. Instead of offering so much personal resistance, but I did this, but I said, but I thought, no, actually try to put yourself in the other person's position, and both parties do that with a trained person there, then I've seen repeatedly that actually a third solution that neither party had thought of can be found by Krishna's mercy that actually resolves the issue. It's quite extraordinary. When it happens successfully, it's quite extraordinary and quite liberating for everyone. Something you hadn't even thought of, that after it comes, you think, oh, why didn't I think of that? It was obvious. Yeah, we saw that also in Sharanagati several times. And this facilitator, though, is very important, or mediator or ombudsperson. And fortunately, within Krishna consciousness, there are those people. And at the end, then there's great satisfaction, you could say, great fulfillment within the hearts of everyone concerned. So perhaps we'll stop here. Thank you so much for your attention. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I should mention that if anyone's interested, there's a Bhagavad Gita for children here, for those of you who don't yet have it. And there's also Bhagavad Gita photographic essay and harmony and the Bhagavad Gita about applying Bhagavad Gita to daily life. Hare Krishna.
Right. Hi, all devotees. Nitagora, Hari Hari. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here in Gidnagri. And thank you for being early. You're on time. Great. Because you're on time, you get the mercy and you get the privilege and the honor of hearing from Vishakha Prabhu. I mean, wasn't that amazing? I'm sorry I came in. We're figuring out all the logistics of welcoming you, and I believe Parijata Devi welcomed everyone. And she also introduced you, Vishakha Devi, Vishakha Prabhu. And so our next speaker is His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. And I'm not sure, because we are preparing also, as we are trying to arrange the logistics here to be here to speak to all of you, we're also arranging for His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and his entourage about 5 minutes from here. And so we're kind of trying to figure it out, how to get from there to here and there to here and there to here. So please forgive us for that. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj will be speaking to all of us shortly. I need to find out what's going on with our timing. I'm understanding that you have not yet had prasadam. Is that a fact? Yes. Okay, so prasadam will be served, I'm guessing, now. And then we will come back for His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. And then after that, His Holiness Radhanath Swami will be speaking, will be sharing with everyone. And then His Holiness Radhanath Swami will be sharing with you with the TOVP later on in the evening. So that's the program so far. And is there any questions? Anything that you'd like to know? Please, this is your time to ask. There's not a lot of people here yet, so... Yes. Do we have a mic that we can give to the Mataji? Which should I give this one?
I just had a question about the kids' camp that's at 3 o'clock over there. Is that what's going on?
Yes, I just saw Krishna Prasthaya, Mataji Prabhu. She's... I just saw her speeding, getting ready to come back, which means that she's just about ready for the children. So whenever you get ready to take them over there, I am sure that she will be there. And Vishakha, you have a table outside with your books? Okay, and there's something outside that devotees can purchase your books? Yes, please, please. So Vishakha Prabhu will have a table outside for her books. And as you know, I'm sure Parijata shared that she's been on a worldwide, well, country tour of America with her books. And so if you don't have her books, please, please give yourself some nourishment from getting one of Vishakha Prabhu's book, or get all of them. You will be wonderfully nourished spiritually by reading her books and sharing what's in her books with others. So now if you can take prasad, and please come back. And when you come back, we will have His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj here in the temple room for all of you. Thank you again for coming to Gidnagri. Thank you very, very much. Hari Hari Bol.
In harmony. Where should I put these?